Well, you know it's going to be a good Sunday when we start breaking fire codes because of how many chairs we just brought in to this room. And unfortunately, the fire chief of Monument comes to our church, so I just pray wherever you're at, just cover your eyes. Hey, anybody else excited to be at church this morning? Let's go, let's go. I don't know if, I bet you're like me, many of us grew up in churches that we'd have to admit, we probably weren't too excited to be at on Sunday morning. And so the fact that we are excited to be here because we believe in what God's doing here, we see the evidence of life transformation, we see that people are coming here and no matter how their story reads, it matters here, that you can stop pretending. Again, if you're brand new to Trace, this is a place that you can stop pretending because you can't hide and heal at the same time. And so we don't want you to come here to pretend to be somebody that you're not. We want you to come here and expose your brokenness because all of us are broken just with different colors, factions, and functions of that brokenness, amen? And so we're here because we believe in a living God that has the potential and the ability to change our story. We're gonna be talking a whole lot about that today. Can we do this really quick? We have hundreds of people that watch us every single week online. Can we welcome them into the conversation? So glad and thankful that you guys are joining us. We also know that many of you potentially are here today because of a New Year's resolution. Maybe you looked at 2023 and you started to take an assessment of your life and determine, you know what, I'm not sure that this is how I want 2024 to be. And maybe God began to help you to reassess and rethink about what your life could look like. And what if, and again, we're gonna talk a whole lot about this today, what if we started giving God full access to our life instead of doing what so many of us are guilty of, which is giving him limited access to our life. And so we wanna invite God to have full access to our life because we believe that the capabilities and the capacity of what we are able to, the way that we're able to live, what we're able to accomplish is so much greater when God has full access to our lives. And so, man, I'm excited about today. Your pastor came ready to preach. I'm pumped. But before we get into my sermon, I do want to highlight something that on January 28th, we're kicking off an initiative here called The Story. We've been praying and planning and preparing for this for months. I would tell you that this is going to be potentially one of the most important things that we've ever done in the life of this church. The big idea behind this is that we want to increase biblical literacy. We want to increase biblical or Bible engagement. And we also want to grow Christian community. How many of us know that we are living in a culture today that is hell-bent on leading us, wanting to lead us away from Christ, the purposes of Christ? And so if there were ever a time to dig more deeply into God's word, to know his truth, and why do we get to know his truth? Not so that we can act like Pharisees, we get to know God's word so that we can better show the love of God to others, right? We get to know God so that we can show God. This is not about just increasing our biblical literacy for the sake of, hey, let me show you what I know. No, no, no. We wanna show you who we know, amen? And the way that we can show you who we know is by getting to know him ourselves, by digging deeply into his word and understanding who he is so that we can better show his love to a lost and broken world. Now, to get the most out of this, the best way to get the most out of this is to also join what we're calling story groups. And so here's how this is gonna look. For 7 months or about 30 to 33 weeks, every single Sunday when we come in here, we're gonna teach you through, starting in Genesis, ending in Revelation, we're gonna teach through the Bible, specifically the 30 major themes and stories of the Bible to give you a better understanding, a better grasp of God's word. And then our hope is that you would get into a story group, and we've got about 40 story groups been training these leaders that are ready to invite you into their groups, that you would get into a story group that'll meet each and every week. It'll be a small group of people that will dive more deeply into the content that is discussed here on Sunday. And guys, most of you know me, some of you don't, but I work hard not to over-sensationalize things when I say them. And so believe me when I say, I think this will be one of the best things you could do for your life in 2024. I really, really do. And so here's what this is gonna look like. Let me get a drink of water. I've already been preaching too hard this morning. This is how this is gonna look. On January 28th is when this kicks off. And so between now and then, we need you to get on our app. If you don't have our church app, download that app. And as soon as you pull that app up, you'll see it says story groups. Get on there. You can start to see different groups that meet, when and where they meet. By the way, for those of you that need childcare, we have thought of you. And so on Tuesday nights, we're gonna be hosting several groups here at Trace where you can come and actually utilize our childcare here at a small cost. And so guys, do me a favor, do yourself a favor. Between now and January 28th, jump on our app and begin to look and see what group that you want to be a part of. Sound good? Let me do this. Let me just pray over that and then we'll jump into my sermon. Father, I have no doubt that you want to use this next 7 months in an incredibly intentional way in the life of our church, in the lives of the people in this room. Father, I have no doubt that the more that we engage with your word, we get to know who you are, that we actually better show who you are by how we live. God, so many of us are deprived of strong Christian community in our life, where we aren't walking alongside of other Christians who want to encourage us, pray for us, who want to see you work in and through us in bigger and greater ways. And so, Lord, I believe that this is gonna be an incredible thing for everyone that participates. And so, God, would you remove excuses? Would you lead people even to the right groups? God, let this be kind of a divine intervention moment where people don't just join a group, but they join the group that you want them in. And so lead them to the right group. And God, we just give it to you. And we're excited about it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, hey, if you are brand new to church, if you're brand new to Christianity, there's a guy that you need to get to know by the name of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was responsible for planting and starting the majority of the churches around the Mediterranean rim right after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So once he had his own encounter with Jesus, he's like, man, this is the greatest news that anyone will ever hear. And so he goes and begins to start brand new churches. And then after he starts those churches, he begins to write letters to those different churches, sometimes to encourage them, sometimes to correct them. And as he's writing these letters, they become what we now have as our New Testaments. Not the entire New Testament, but the majority of our New Testament are writings from the Apostle Paul. Many of those writings coming from letters that he wrote to individual churches. Now, one of the churches that he wrote to was a church in the city of a town called Corinth. And you just need to know this. Like, in short, this church was jacked up. Like, for those of you, and some of you won't get this reference because you're not my age, but he could have made it, or not he, but Corinth could have made it on the Jerry Springer show a couple times. That's what I'm saying, right? How many of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about? So yeah, that's just, you just aged me and yourself. I was just curious. And so Paul starts writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And again, what you need to know if you ever read this book, which you should, is that it's a reprimand. The church in Corinth is messed up. And so Paul begins to show them and tell them, guys, you need to stop doing this. You need to rethink this. You need to kind of check yourself and have a different approach when it comes to this. And one of the things that he highlights is how they're using the spiritual gifts. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they're abusing them at times, and oftentimes overemphasizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and keeping them from seeing more significant things that God wants them to see, which is what leads Paul to write what he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and angels, in other words, for those of you that understand this context, if I could speak in tongues, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. Jump down to verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. I want you to hold that. We put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, and then being, when we close our eyes here for the very last time, open only to open them in the glory of God, in the presence of our Almighty Savior. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now, it's partial. It's incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Trace, over the next 3 weeks, we're gonna be in a series called Faith, Hope, and Love, where I want to take a deeper dive into these three subjects. I want us to kind of flesh out what it means, why the Apostle Paul points these things out to us and not only says that they'll last forever, but why they need to be such a big part of the foundation of our life and of our faith. Now, I wanna like just have a moment with you, almost like a little huddle moment, okay? This year will be significant in the life of this church. I really do need you to lean in right now and just kind of hear me out on this. This year will be significant in the life of our church. Many of you know, most of you know that we are in the process of purchasing the Budweiser building about a mile and a half down the road. And there's a lot of buzz about that. There's a lot of excitement about that. And that will no doubt lead, as we see this morning, a lot of people are going to continue to come to this church. A lot of people are hearing about what God is doing in the life of this church. A lot of you are experiencing life change and inviting others to come and experience what God is doing in this church. And when we get closer to moving into that building, it's going to build, like, just hear me out, it's going to build a lot of excitement and momentum, and we will likely experience explosive growth. But here's where I need you to lean in and listen to me. Before we ever get there, and that's exciting, and that'll be an incredible time, but before we get there, we need to prepare by growing in faith, hope, and love. Like, I want us to be better positioned. I want us to be better prepared as a people of God, as a people who call this church home. We're a church family, that God has developed something new within us, something deep within us, so that when God does start sending more people and he multiplies our ministry in the city of Colorado Springs, it's not just Pastor Aaron and the other staff members that are pouring into the lives of all these new people. It's you. It's you pouring into the lives of people. Maybe God is going to send somebody to this church that I will never be able to speak into their life because of where they're at in their life, but you can. Because of your experiences. Because of what God has shown you. Because of God, how God has used potentially some of the stupidest things you've ever done and shown you, I'll even use that for my glory if you'll allow me to. We need to prepare, we need to grow, we need to deepen our faith, we need to grow our hope in what's to come. We need to elevate and maximize how we're loving people that are lost and broken and don't even know right now that they need a savior. And so before we ever get to all the fun stuff, I wanna make sure that we're taking time to develop in the important stuff, amen? Amen. And so what I wanna do today is I want to begin this series by looking at one of these subjects, the subject of faith. And to do that, I want to point out two particular stories to you from the New Testament that I believe are both unique and incredibly inspirational. Our first story comes from Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to that servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. The more accurate translation from the original Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, says that Jesus was marveled. Do you know there's only one other place, I think this is worth mentioning, there's only one other place in the entire New Testament where it says that Jesus was amazed? And it was when he walked into his hometown of Nazareth after he'd been gone for a long time. And it says that he was marveled, amazed by their lack of faith. But here it's just the opposite. What marveled Jesus? "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Now, it's worth asking the question at this moment, like, what was it about the faith of this centurion that amazed Jesus? What was it about the faith of this centurion that made Jesus marvel? In my best understanding of this text, I would tell you that Jesus was amazed at this man's ability to take an assessment of his life. That's what he does, right? The centurion takes an assessment of his life, realizes what he's capable of on his own. He realizes what he's capable of because of his unique power and position and the authority that he has and the role that he has. And then he juxtaposes that to Christ and what Jesus himself has the unique power, position, and authority to do. And as Jesus is observing this guy, taking this quick assessment, evaluating, juxtaposing this, he's amazed. Now, I would take that one step further. why would Jesus be so amazed at that? I mean, it seems pretty clever. It's an intentional way of thinking. I mean, got to give the guy credit, but why would Jesus be so amazed at this guy's ability to do this? Here's why, I think. Because most of the time we do just the opposite. Most of the time, what we do is we take an assessment of our life, we think about what we're capable of on our own, and then we project that onto God. Well, if this is what I'm capable of, then I guess that's probably all God is capable of. A different way to say that is this: oftentimes we limit God's capabilities through our own capacity. Can I say that again for somebody? Oftentimes we limit God's capabilities through our own capacity. And listen, I believe this. I believe that there's somebody here today that God has been waiting and wanting to give a breakthrough to. But he's been waiting on you to take the first step of faith. What he doesn't want to do, he doesn't want to do it for you. He wants to do it through you. And maybe even more importantly, he wants to do it with you. And so maybe the way that we step into 2024 this year, maybe the beginning of making a difference and kind of approaching this year with a newfound perspective is inviting God to have full access to our life. Taking an assessment. This is what I'm capable of on my own. And some of us would probably even take that a step further and we would say it like this: God, I know what I'm capable of. I've had a front row to see it for the last several decades, for the last several years. I know what I'm capable of on my own. God, I wanna know what I'm capable of with you. God, I want to know what I'm capable of if I invite you to have full access to my life, not limited access, which so many of us, including your pastor, are guilty of, where it's like, God, I'll allow you to be my main source of influence in these areas, but not so much this. What if we actually in 2024 invited God, God, I'm giving you full access to my life, which means I'm giving you access to my failures. I'm giving you access to the stuff that I don't like to admit. I'm giving you access to all the things that I feel I've actually done a decent job in, all of my failures, all of my successes. And God, I'm inviting you to use it all. I'm no longer going to give my past failures and regrets as a weapon and as ammunition to my enemy to continue to build and heap shame on my life. I'm giving you all of it, full access, God. And I don't know if you missed it, and just in case you did, can I point it out to you? The faith of this centurion, his faith, it didn't benefit him. His faith changed the story of someone else, his servant. Does anybody else want the kind of faith that makes the people's lives around them have a better story? That's the kind of faith that I want in 2024. Yes, I want the kind of faith that brings benefit and value into my life, no doubt. But Jesus is showing us through this story, there's a kind of faith that we can have, that we can exercise, that makes the story of those around us better. God, we want that kind of faith. We want that kind of faith. That was story number one. I'm even more excited about story number two. Luke chapter 5. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way, will you hold that thought? They couldn't find a way. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles, broke through the roof, lowered him through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Anybody else like to have a couple friends like that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And if you don't know the rest of the story, Jesus heals this man. And even though he came through the roof crippled and paralyzed, he walked out of that house that day on both feet. Would anybody else like to step into 2024 differently than they stepped out of 2023? Would anybody else like to step into 2024 differently than they stepped out of 2023? And some of you might say right now, and you feel right now, yes, and the Spirit of God is moving inside of you, but you're also looking at all the limitations, you're looking at all the potential obstacles in front of you, including your own regrets and past and mistakes, and you're limiting what you're capable of. Say it differently. You're limiting what God's capable of because of your own capacity. When God's saying, no. Let me show you what a breakthrough looks like in your life. Give me access to your life and I'll show you what we can accomplish together. And what if, church, this is so huge. This is so huge. What if the breakthroughs that are on the other side of a decision, what if the breakthroughs that are on the other side of the next week or 2 weeks or month aren't just decisions that we make personally? What if they come from the people that we surround ourselves with? And again, this is so important, listen to me, because we're surrounding ourselves with people that have, or let me say it differently, that are full of faith for you. What if you surrounded yourself with people that were full of faith on what God could do through you and in you? Well, Aaron, where do I start? Why don't you start by getting in a story group? Seriously. Why don't you start surrounding yourself with people that are going after the same thing that you're going after? People that believe in you, that God's got greater things for you. There's a level of significance that hasn't been unlocked in your life yet because you haven't stepped into what God is just waiting for you to step into, but it might take the faith of others around you to help you to get there. Some of you today potentially might not have the faith that you need. Borrow it from someone else. Did you pick up what just happened in this story? The paralyzed man was not healed because of his own faith. He was healed because of their faith. The paralyzed man was healed because he had some friends in his life that believed that Jesus was capable, that believed that Jesus could do greater things, and they put him literally in the presence of Jesus. They couldn't find a way, but they made a way. Amen. There is a kind of faith, church. There is a kind of faith that finds a way. There is a kind of faith that doesn't make excuses. It finds a way. There's a kind of faith that doesn't get discouraged by a culture hell-bent on leading people away from Christ. Instead, it finds a way. There's a kind of faith that isn't overcome by opposition, because there's plenty of that out there coming against us, but instead it finds a way. There's a kind of faith that doesn't give up even though the devil is throwing everything that he can at you in his arsenal, but instead it finds a way. To the single mom who's working two jobs just to pay the bills and still gets her kids the youth group on Wednesday night, there's a kind of faith that finds a way. To the middle school teacher who has no doubt experienced and noticed the double standard against teachers and students of faith, and instead of sitting down and being silent, she stands firm in her faith, goes to the administration, gets some policies changed, there's a kind of faith that finds a way. To the third grader, all these are true stories, by the way. To the third grader who was sitting in her classroom when her teacher said, "Children, Christmas isn't about Jesus, it's about family." To which this third grader speaks up and says, "Excuse me, I have to respectfully disagree. Christmas is about Jesus." There's a kind of faith that finds a way. To the pastor who was turned down by a lot of lending agencies when he tried to buy a Budweiser building. True story. But he found one who believed in what God was doing and couldn't argue that the breakthroughs that he was seeing happen each and every week in the life of this church. There's a kind of faith that finds a way. Come on, somebody. Trace, I want you to have the kind of faith that finds a way. The kind of faith that isn't afraid of the ridicule that will come our way, that doesn't care if people think what we are saying sounds ridiculous when we talk about how the Spirit of God, the power of God is moving in our lives and in the life of this church. Let this be the year where we run after Jesus without apology, knowing that he's got a race that he has set before us and we're gonna run that race until we are finished, amen? Let this be the year where we put childish things behind us. We stop playing games. We stop allowing Satan to steal our joy. And we start stepping more fully into faith, hope, and love. I want to read to you something that I read this past week that a pastor said. He said, in 2024, I want to be more undignified for Jesus. I've seen the fruit and the rewards of tamed religion, and I don't want it. I've seen the rewards of career Christianity, and I don't want it. I've seen how little it takes for some people to sell out. And it has only convicted me even more to live for the audience of one. No matter who judges me, talks about me, or misunderstands my heart. In 2024, I want to be all in and on fire for Jesus to the degree it chases away any apathy in my heart and it confronts any fear of man. We've got way too much fear of man happening in our lives. It's a future sermon. And he concludes with this. And it causes me to step fully into the calling on my life. If you're here this morning and you want the kind of faith that finds a way, if you want the kind of faith that gives those around you a better story, if you want to step into 2024 differently than you stepped out of 2023, I'm gonna ask that you make a bold move right now and stand to your feet. And if you're not ready, don't stand to your feet. That's completely okay. But if you're ready for that, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I'm gonna pray God's favor over each and every one of us that are ready to step into this year, wanting to exercise more faith, wanting to build our hope, wanting to elevate how we love those around us. Father God, we pray, I pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that you would fill this room with favor. For everyone bold enough to stand up on their feet right now, God, I would pray that you would show them that there's a kind of faith that potentially has been missing in their life. Maybe because they haven't been stepping into it. Maybe they haven't been surrounding their life with the right people that have faith for them. Father, I pray that as we take steps and we know opposition is going to come our way, that just by standing up today, that Satan is putting a bullseye on our back, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would protect, that you would show us what it looks like to stand firm, not only in our faith, but in the power that raised Jesus from the dead that can overcome any attempts of the enemy. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. And I'm not done praying. Keep praying. Father, I pray that you would surround these people with other like-minded believers that would have faith for them, that they would be full of faith for them, that they would see something in them, call something out of them. God, that you would do something different in our lives, in the life of this church in 2024. God, we are taking a step of faith in your direction right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Man, give it up this morning. You can have a seat. How many of you guys know your pastor came to preach in 2024? I've got snot running out my nose like crazy though. Can you grab me just quick? Yeah, there we go. Thank you, sir. Get up for Charlie. You're not preaching good until snot comes out. That's what I heard. I just made that up. All right, I'm gonna transition really quick. And I do wanna talk to us. We call what I'm about to do with you a family moment. where I want to give you some behind the scenes footage of what's happening in the life of our church right now, specifically when it comes to the Budweiser building. And if you're brand new to this and you're like, what are you even talking about? We've been in conversations and negotiations for the Budweiser building that's literally a mile and a half down this road on Mark Dabbling. And we're gonna be closing on that property probably towards the end of February and beginning of March. And again, just a heads up to, so you can kind of understand where we're at. Even when we close, we can't take over that building until the beginning of June because Budweiser actually is leasing that building and has that lease until the end of May. So here's what you need to know. We've been working tirelessly behind the scenes to figure out a plan and a design to turn a Budweiser building into a place where spiritual breakthroughs are going to continue to happen every single day. And we are excited about that. We have been working with contractors and architects, and here recently we got the quote back on what it's going to cost to renovate that building, and it came in at $1.5 million more than what we were planning to spend. Now, I'm sure many of you are thinking, well, why don't we just start cutting things and getting rid of things? We are doing all of that, and we've already got that number down to $750,000. I got rid of my helicopter pad. I don't need that, right? I mean, we're not gonna do bathrooms for the beginning. No, I'm just kidding. But we've got a lot of very intelligent people around the table with us. Literally every week, we have meetings every week, trying to figure out, okay, what can we do? You know, how can we not maybe utilize that in the beginning? And just so you know, we got phase one and phase two that we're already planning on doing. So this is just phase one. We're $1.5 million over. We brought that number down to 750,000. Now, here's where I need to just have a moment with many of you. If you have been faithfully giving to this church, I can't say thank you enough. This was a dream 8 years ago. It was a dream. And I'm just seeing what God is now doing that would not be possible without your faithful giving, some of you, your sacrificial giving. And so you know who you are. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I think you'd be excited to hear some of these other stories that in the last several months, we've had two different churches give us a total of $70,000 because they believe in what God is doing in the life of this church. A few years back, I randomly met a lady on an airplane, and there's more of a story here where she wasn't supposed to sit beside me, but they changed her seat last minute, and I started talking to her about Jesus and about Trace because that's what I do. And she's given over $100,000 to the life of this church, and she lives in Kentucky. Come on, somebody. She believes in what God is doing in this church, even though she will likely never step foot into it. And this is where I need to ask so many of you, and this is not a guilt trip, I promise, but for those of you that have not been giving to the mission of God through Trace Church and you've chosen not to, or maybe you're brand new to all of this and you've not even been given the opportunity yet, I just need you to hear my heart right now. I need you. More importantly than that, your church needs you. In order for this to not become something that cripples us financially, we need to increase our giving by $25,000 every single month. And there is not a doubt in my mind that is going to be difficult to do if we would all simply be faithful in our giving. And when I say faithful, we're a tithing church. If you don't know what that means, we give God our first and we give God our best, which means we set aside the first 10% of everything that God has given us, because I hope you know that everything that you have in your possession right now is only in your possession because God gave you the opportunities and the potential to have that. And some of you know this, unfortunately, by experience, He can also take it all away. And I'm just asking you for you to be faithful, to set aside the 10% that God has asked us to set apart. We're gonna give Him our first and our best. And if we do that, I think we can exceed that $25,000 a month. But this is me just pleading with you and asking you, and more importantly, encouraging you to have that conversation with your Heavenly Father. And if you decide that you're ready to start giving to the mission of God through Trace Church, then the best way to do that, jump on our app or our website and set up reoccurring giving, and we'll be able to see how much more money is coming in so we can better prepare for when we actually take over that building. Sound good? Now, anybody want to see what the future of Trace Church looks like? Anybody want to see that? Okay. Here it is. So we'll have our logo like we do right now in the lobby. We'll have that on the outside of the wall. We'll have about 350 parking spots, about 2 acres of parking, which is incredible. If you want to have a size reference, this building, the space that we currently have right now, it's leased. It's 27,000 square feet. This is 61,000 square feet of space. This will be our lobby. I'm going to try to say this fast. Yeah, we intentionally wanted a big lobby for you to hang out in after service and build community and get to know each other. This is something we're really excited about. We want to have an inside playground. And then, I didn't know you guys were so excited about playgrounds. On the other side of this wall, you'll see my mug, which will be a big LED TV. And we'll be showing movies throughout the week, and we'll keep the playground open throughout the week. It's been a big, big passion of mine that I don't want to have a multi-million-dollar building without allowing the community to use it throughout the week. So the community is going to be invited throughout the week to come and experience this for free. As you see, there's also an outside area that when the weather permits, we'll open those garage doors. And so just imagine inviting your friends. Some of you, maybe stay-at-home moms, inviting moms to come and hang out and let the kids play on the playground, watch movies in the lobby when the weather's permitting, you know, hanging out. There's the Trace Kids Wing. We don't have the design for the Trace Kids Wing quite yet, but that'll be where Trace Kids is going to be. Going to serve coffee as usual. We don't serve crap coffee here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A little picture wall. It's amazing what they can do, by the way, the architects. Again, there's that outdoor space. We're excited about that indoor-outdoor fireplace. That probably will be phase two, unless somebody would like to give today and make that happen. And here's our worship center. Right now, you're sitting in a 500-seat worship center. We maxed that out today. This is a 1,100-seat worship center because we really do believe that God is going to multiply our ministry here in Colorado Springs. But before we get there, we are going to make sure we grow as a church in the right way, correct? We're going to grow in faith. We're going to grow in hope. And we are going to grow in love. Let me pray for us. Father, we are excited. We're excited for a new year. We're excited for new challenges. We're excited for newfound faith. God, I pray in so many things that I said today, I believe to the bottom of my toes, but I know that without your intervention, without your divine appointments even, aligning our lives with the lives of other people, specific people, God, without that, then it's just empty words. But we believe in that. We believe in your divine intervention. We believe in divine appointment. We believe that you can provide a faith that we can obtain and exercise that won't only change our story, but will change the story of those around us. God, we're excited about this building, the future home of Trace Church, no doubt. And I have little doubt in my mind that you are going to multiply our ministry in Colorado Springs exponentially. But before we get there, God, I just want to make sure we're prepared. I want to make sure that our posture is the right in the right place. That we don't just want a bunch of people coming to a church so we can say we got a bunch of people. We want these people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we want to help prepare them to be that. So God, help us, show us, guide us, correct us. And just like you did through Paul to the church in Corinth, when you need to even reprimand us. Show us when we're getting off track. Show us that you got something better when we accept something far less than what you have to offer. God, we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.